not faith, what can be with the Father?
The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before their eyes. His face became as dazzling as the sun, his clothes as radiant as light. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Upon this, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how good it is for us to be here. With your permission, I will erect three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Out of the cloud came a voice which said, "This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." When they heard this, the disciples fell forward on the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus came toward them and, laying his hand on them, said, "Get up. Do not be afraid." When they looked up, they did not see anyone but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountainside, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell anyone of the vision until the Son of Man rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Church's liturgy, certain Sundays for centuries have had a definite meaning and corresponding name. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. I would like to share with you three aspects of what we've just read from the Gospel of Matthew: the Transfiguration as commemoration, the Transfiguration as imitation, and the Transfiguration as anticipation. C.I.A. Today's feast of the Transfiguration is first of all a commemoration of what actually took place during the mortal life of Jesus on earth. He was transfigured, as we read, before the eyes of his three chosen disciples, Peter, James, and John. His face became radiant. His clothes shone like the sun. He was so beautiful that Peter, leave it to Peter to say things, I don't see without a second, sometimes without a first thought. Lord, it is great for us to be here. Let's stay here. And then we'll build Peter, not even a good fisherman. He was going to build three, let's call them synagogues. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We commemorate Christ's marvelous transfiguration. It lasted only a short time. However, during the Transfiguration, the first person of the Trinity identified who this Jesus is. He is my only begotten, beloved Son. And then the imperative, listen to him. This is commemoration. Although after the vision ceased, then Jesus told the disciples, warned them, don't you dare say anything about this until after I have risen from the dead. That's commemoration. What happened? Now the imitation. Christ's transfiguration is a promise of our own transfiguration. Although be called the last, but should be called the first day. However, we shall be transfigured, all right, but only if, as the Heavenly Father declared on that occasion, if we listen to what His Divine Son as man told us to do. This injunction, by the way, came on two dramatic occasions. One earlier, remember, when Our Lady had the marriage feast of Cana. They ran out of wine. We're not quite sure why. Whether there wasn't enough wine or they just drank too much. The Gospels don't tell us. All we know is they ran out of wine. And Mary solicitous told her son, and then told the servants, do whatever he tells you to. In other words, listen to him. What Mary said at the Feast of Cana in Galilee, Heavenly Father repeated, listen to him. What a difference. What a difference. Even in memorizing the whole Bible, I don't say just the New Testament, and teaching as I did for 7 years at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, I never had to ask anybody, does anybody have a Bible? Every student in class had a Bible. But what a difference between knowing the Bible by heart and listening to what Jesus tells us and the scriptures we're supposed to do. In other words, speaking of imitation, Christ was transfigured to teach us two things. The next lesson will be part 3 of our homily. But part 2, we are to listen to him. There is no more salutary or sobering statement that Christ made than when he said, remember, he told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Everybody these days is talking about love. Love this, love that. I spell the word love. L-O-V-E, when it's authentic love, and L-U-V. We love Christ only in the measure that we do His will, but watch it. It is one thing to read what Christ taught us, even meditate on the words of Jesus. But Christ's teaching was not meant merely, what a safe adverb, not merely to instruct our minds. God became man and lived on earth mainly to inspire our wills. Our principal task in life is to imitate Jesus Christ. All the memorization of Christ's words, all the theologizing of the teaching of Christ is so much wasted effort, unless, and this is what they're called upon to do, and I'm talking to the right audience. Listen to Him. And listening to Christ means not merely hearing Him or reading what He says, but following His example. I'm speaking in the wealthiest nation in human history. We have the longest lifespan. We do the least work. The laziest society on earth is the United States. We eat the most. One of my Jesuit confreres in Rome during my study told me our French social scientists have proved statistically we could feed comfortably our whole nation of France every year on the amount of food your Americans waste every year. We are the sleepiest, the laziest, materially the richest society in human history. Imitating Christ, and it began real early by being born in a stable. You talk poverty to the average American today, I think you're either being, well, fanatical, or you're slightly psychotic. Who wants to be poor? That's why we have the present administration and the presidency. More and still more of what this world can offer us. For 30 years in Nazareth, Jesus lived a life of complete obedience, as faith tells us, to two of His own creatures, Joseph and Mary. Who today wants to obey anybody? One of the degrees that I've gained over the years is a graduate degree in psychology. So I qualified for a man who was arrested for, and justifiably, spanking his daughter. His daughter reported it to the school officials, and he was arrested. He had a trial on either prison or me under psychological probation. And I qualified as a psychologist. Obedience. And you mothers and fathers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you do, kindly, gently, but firmly, teach your children obedience. The imitation of Christ and his patience. He suffered. Not only did he finally did on Calvary the most agonizing pain and being crucified, but from the moment almost of his birth he was opposed, persecuted, remember, driven into Egypt by the jealous King Herod to imitate Christ. He must learn from his patience. As I've said so many times, give me a dagger in my heart any day compared to some people's tongue. The greatest suffering on earth, and I speak autobiographically, the deepest pain on earth is suffering at the lips and in the mind and in the hearts of those whom we love. All of this is locked up in the Feast of the Transfiguration. Finally, anticipation. Christ wisely warned the disciples, tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Christ's transfiguration is a promise of ours. Oh, I have talked to too many people, too many, not to know that so many people I speak to, as the expression goes, it enters one ear and goes out the other. Christ's transfiguration is meant to be the anticipation of our transfiguration. We too, when we enter heaven, even before the last day, are we transfigured in soul. But then, on the occasionally called the last day, should be called the first day of the human race. We shall be transfigured even in body. This body which on earth, oh, how much it humiliates us. There are parts of our body that, thank God, we don't dare display. There are functions of our body that are humiliating. It's with our bodies that we serve the God in whom we believe. And as we get older in years, the body, listen to this, the soul never gets old. Do you hear it? Never. Italian, my. In Latin, numquam. Soul never gets old, the body does. is God's way of keeping us spiritually alive. Thank God. Thank God. This body will get finally sold. The soul will tell the body, thanks, I'm leaving. But this very body of ours, which is in so many ways the source of humiliation and embarrassment, the cosmetic industry will go out of business tomorrow if more people believed in the transfiguration of the body. What are we anticipating? We're anticipating not only heavenly glory for our souls, but now this needs to be said. In an age and in a country where the human body, and I mean it, is idolized, to use our bodies, an imitation of Christ, being satisfied with less for our bodies. I think I should say it. After Mass, I'll have my breakfast. Mortifying our palate. Mortifying our ears. There are many streets in the United States no longer have sidewalks. Did you know that? For the best of reason. Because most people don't walk. And during the season of Lent, as a closing observation, I ask you to examine your consciences on how you are, and ask God to enlighten you, how you are indulging your body, this body, which is destined to be transfigured in a heavenly eternity after the last day, but on one condition. Transfiguration depends on mortification. And mortification is not only one teaspoon of sugar in my coffee during Lent. No. Our whole life should be patterned after the life of Jesus Christ. That's why God took on human flesh. Do you hear me? So you might live a mortified life. And die, shall I say it, a mortified death. We anticipate a heavenly eternity when our body will be resplendent as the sun, and beautiful beyond all comprehension, but on one condition, that we have seen this body here on earth as a means and a condition for being transfigured in eternity. We shall be transfigured only if we mortify our body come on earth. Closing statement. And we'll be only as transfigured as we have been mortified. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray for our Holy Father that God may give him the strength to proclaim a crucified Christ to a pleasure-loving world. Let us pray to the Lord. For Bishop Hunter of Saginaw, that God may enlighten him. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who are suffering, especially the dying, they may accept